Praise God. Sure good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. We've been looking forward to being here. Praise God. I was pastoring a few years ago, and there's a lady in the church was witnessing to a lost man, and she was telling him about how good it was to be saved. And he stopped her in her conversation, and he said, if you believe 10% of what you say, you'd be 90% happier than what you are. Praise God. Woo. That's quite a message. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, I figure it like this. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. Well, I made up my mind, there's no turning back, this is it. With Jesus to carry my load, sweet heaven as my goal. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. I made up my mind, there's no turning back, this is it. With Jesus to carry my load, sweet heaven as my goal. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. Well, heard about a place that the Lord went away to prepare. It sounded so great, I'm gonna live up there. Since you saved my weary soul, sweet heaven's been my goal. I'm not only gonna make it, I'm gonna enjoy my trip. I'm not only gonna make it, I'm gonna enjoy my trip. I made up my mind, there's no turning back, this is it. With Jesus to carry my load, sweet heaven as my goal. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. There's a river to cross and a mountain ahead to climb. I'll trust in the Lord, I know the victory is mine. Just over the hill, I'm told, I'm going to walk on the streets of gold. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. I made up my mind, there's no turning back, this is it. With Jesus to carry my load, sweet heaven as my goal. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. No Satan to tell you there's nothing left to do but stop. He'll tell you there's no way you'll ever reach the top. But praise the Lord, here I stand. I got a glimpse of the glory land. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. I'm not only gonna make it, I'm gonna enjoy my trip. I made up my mind, there's no turning back, this is it. With Jesus to carry my load, sweet heaven as my goal. I'm not only gonna make it, I'm gonna enjoy my trip. Praise God, every time I take my grandkids somewhere or another, I don't care where it's at. They always say, are we there yet? Praise God. Are we there yet? Now, Brother McDonald, we ain't there yet. Praise God. But it sure looks like it's getting closer than what it has been. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Satan to tell you there's nothing left to do but stop. He'll say there's no way you'll ever reach the top. But praise the Lord, here I stand. I got a glimpse of the glory land. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. I made up my mind, there's no turning back, this is it. With Jesus to carry my load, sweet heaven as my goal. I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to enjoy my trip. Oh, bless your name.
Hallelujah. Thank God I'm enjoying life. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. So glad to be in the house of the Lord with all of you. Appreciate the goodness of God. Thank the Lord for traveling mercy. God gave us a great trip up, and we're thankful for that. Let me begin by saying that we are certainly honored to be here, and it's a privilege to be in the home of the savages. I've never stayed with a bunch of savages before, so we'll see how that works out. Amen. But we thank you for the fine accommodations, and everyone's just been so gracious, and certainly love and respect Brother and Sister Savage. And, of course, it's good to be with Ricky and Christy and the kids again. Christy and her family are very dear to us, and they mean a lot to us, and it's just a privilege to see how God has blessed their family. And we're looking for the Lord to do great things for us. Pleasure to be in service with Brother Godby, and looking for the Lord to bless in the afternoon service. But what do you say we just get in and let the Lord help us today? Look with me, please, to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23. I want to preach to you right out of my heart. Something I feel like the Lord laid on my heart for the service today. And why wouldn't it be great for the Lord to save someone this morning? And so I want to be mindful of the moving of the Spirit. Preach just long enough to find that place to make an altar. And so you pray that God will help us to be sensitive and obey the voice of the Lord. Chapter 23 of the Gospel of Luke. Stand for the reading of God's Word. Let's take up our reading there in verse number 39 of Luke 23. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You may be seated. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Verse number 43 is our scripture text. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. If the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to preach this message. Jesus won't leave you hanging. I am so thankful we serve a living Lord. I am so thankful we serve a Christ that cares. As we look here at this story, we see that Christ is suffering for the sins of humankind. There are two thieves that hang there on either side. They hang there because of their misdeeds. They hang there because of their sins. They hang there because of their iniquity. They hang there because of their unjust lives. They hang there because they deserve to be there. However, there's one that hangs in the middle. I'm so glad for that middle man. Three gaunt shadows stark against the sky. And on the center cross, the Christ of God upthrust to die. Two beams, the clutching arms of hate, become the symbol of the crying heart of God outstretched in love. One awful moment on that dark, unnatural night, by miracle divine, wrought life eternal for this sinful heart of mine. These two thieves that hang on the either side of the Lord, they deserve to be there. But that middle man, though undeserving, he still hang there. Understand that this expression, left hanging, according to Oxford Dictionary of Phrases and Thoughts, the idea to leave a man hanging means to leave a man in a desperate condition. To leave a man in a lurch, if you will. To ignore his call for help. To turn a deaf ear to his plea, his cry for aid. This thief that hanged there that day, he cried and Jesus didn't leave him hanging. May I preach to you today that sin will always leave you hanging. Sin will always leave you in a desperate state. Sin will always leave you in an awful condition. But I am so glad the Christ of God came from heaven above to save mankind from his awful condition. You see, while you're here on this earth, sin will take you to some awful places. Sin will put you in a desperate condition. Sin will leave you in a desperate place. But sin wants to take you to a most awful place. And while you're here in this world living in your sins, sinner man, sinner woman, living in a life of sin, doing your misdeeds, going about your ungodly ways, sin will take you to heartbreak. Sin will take you to loss. Sin will take you to shame. Sin will take you to tears. Sin will take you to many awful places. But there's one awful place that the devil does not want you to think about, and that is that awful place called hell. The place where the wicked forever mourn. They forever weep. They forever plead for mercy. But there's no mercy there. The devil does not want you to think of that awful place. But I come to preach to you today, the Christ of God hung on Golgotha and hung for your sins and mine so that you would not be left hanging over hell. The Christ of God came to deliver you. The Christ of God came to save you. The Christ of God came to save you from that awful place called hell. Look at this story here today and note this thief that hang there beside our Lord. See the despair from which his faith was born. His faith was born in a moment of despair. The conviction of his own sinful iniquity. He confesses his sin. Do you understand, beloved, for you to become a Christian, for you to be born again, you must confess your sin? The Bible says here in verse number 41, this thief, he admits his wrong. And he said, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." Do you understand? Before you can ever turn around, you must admit you're going the wrong direction. Before you can ever receive help from God, you're going to have to confess. You're going to have to face your misdeeds. And you're going to have to admit that you need God. You see, the devil does not want you to look to the ultimate end of sin. The devil does not want you to realize the final destination of your deeds. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yes, the ways of sin for a time are the ways of popularity. Yes, for a time the ways of sin are the ways of pleasure. Yes, they are the ways of permissiveness, but they're also the way of pain. They're also the way of tragedy, and they're also the way, amen, of death. For the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad that's not all the verse, because the Bible said, but the gift of God is eternal life. Heaven has a gift to give. Heaven has a gift to give today. And I offer you that gift today, and that is the gift of eternal life. That's why the Christ of God hung on Golgotha that day, because heaven has a gift to give. Do you see it now? The gift is hanging on the tree. Hallelujah. And Christ the God, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, is that gift that is offered to you and I today. Here's the conviction of his sinful iniquity. Now watch for the confession of his Savior's innocency. Had Christ been guilty of iniquity, he could not have been the ransom for our sins. Had Christ not been the Christ of God, had he not been that impeccable, infallible, hallelujah, Son of God, he could not have been the just offering for sin's payment. But he knew no sin, hallelujah. There was no vile found in his mouth. He never meditated an evil thought. He never articulated an evil word. His hands never committed an evil deed. His footsteps never walked a wayward path. He was not only man, but he was God's son. Hallelujah. He was both God and man. He was so much man, it would be ill thought to think him God. He was so much God, it would be ill thought to think him man. If ever there was a man who was God's son, it was Mary's child, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of men, might be called the sons of God. Amen. He's innocent. He's undefiled. He's spotless and separate from sinners. He's very God. He's eternal God. You ought to worship him today, and you ought to give him praise and glory. This thief that day confessed the Savior's innocency. The Bible tells us, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Watch what he was made. He was made sin for us. The Bible contends that he was made like unto his brethren. The Bible said that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Amen. Being made perfect. Watch this now. Him that knew no sin, he that knew no iniquity, he that knew no sin at all, he became man. He became the seed of the woman, that we might be the sons of God. Hallelujah. It was at Calvary where he who had never been drunk, never been immodest, never been immoral, never been impure, never been wicked, never been hateful, never been unfaithful, died for all of us who have been. It was at Calvary where he who had never been a criminal, never been a gossiper, never been a blasphemer, never been a lawbreaker, never been an evil deed, never been a backslider, never been unjust, never been vulgar, never been vile, never been corrupt, never been carnal, never been indecent, never been worldly, died for all of us who have been. Watch this now. The just dies for the unjust. The pure suffers for the impure. The holy suffers for the unholy. The best is dying for the worst. The highest is suffering for the lowest. The merciful is suffering for the cruel. The good is dying for the bad. The lovely is suffering for the unlovely. The sacred is dying for the sinful. The faultless is suffering for the filthy. The sanctified is dying for the polluted. The faithful suffers for the foolish. The honest dies for the horrible. The Redeemer is suffering for the rebellious. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. On Calvary that day, the lamb suffered for the wolves. On Calvary that day, the master died for the servant. On Calvary that day, the king died for the beggar. On Calvary that day, the prince suffered for the pauper. On Calvary that day, the warden died for the inmates. On Calvary that day, the divine suffered for the devilish. Hallelujah. He was falsely accused by the priest. He was bound by the guards. He was beaten by his captors. He was despised by the Pharisees. He was hated by the Sadducees. He was betrayed by his friends. He was misunderstood by his family. Anyone for Calvary? On that day he was stripped of his garments. He was slapped upon his cheeks. The hair was plucked from his face. He was laden with a cross. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. His hands were pierced. He was nailed through his feet. Anyone for Calvary? He was condemned by his peers. He was rejected by his own. He was humiliated by his circumstances. He was shamed in his nakedness. He was blasphemed by the public. He was struck by the soldiers. He did that for you, and he did that for me. Charles Ray Goff tells of how between Evanston, Illinois, and North Harvey, Illinois, He was riding a train one time between Evanston and North Harvey, Illinois. And they came to a station stop that remarkably was called Calvary. And he said, I noted that particular evening as it grew dark and we came to that station stop so unfamiliar and unheard of to me, named Calvary. The conductor said, Calvary! Calvary! Anyone for Calvary? Anyone for Calvary? And then again, he made that call and said, last call! Last call for Calvary! He said, a man arose from his seat, made his way down the aisle and disembarked from the train. He said, and then it struck home with me, yes, indeed, there is a place called Calvary. And so today, on a Sunday morning of homecoming, I'm making a call for Calvary. Anybody for Calvary today? Oh, is there someone here at Massanova this morning? Do you need to come to Calvary? Oh, is there someone under the sound of my voice? You're lost. You're on your way to hell. You need God. I'm making a call for Calvary this morning. Hallelujah. I'm making a call for Calvary. See the despair from which his faith was born. Notice the desire for which his faith believed. His prayer reverenced the Lordship of Christ. I notice that here's something else that you must do in order for you to turn your life around. Not only must you confess your sins, but this is most important. You must confess Him as Lord. It's not enough that you confess you are a sinner. You're going to confess Him as the only Savior. I submit to you today, men and women, that the Christ of God that I preach to you today is not just a way to salvation. He is the only way to salvation. He is not just a means by which you may do better. He is not merely a way of which you may reform. He is the only way to God. Notice what this thief confessed. He said, Lord. And that's really all you've got to do today. That will settle the issue. Amen. You can win the fight today if you'll just come to this altar and make Him Lord. You see, there are some of you today, it's not your intentions to die lost. You do not purpose to go to hell. You do not plan on living and going to hell, living in a life of sin and being lost, but you're going to be lost unless you call Him Lord. You're going to have to confess the Christ of God as Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. Friend, here's the danger of so many people that I see today. I see a church world that is religious. There are many of you that Christ has a place in your life. He merely has a place in your life. And you observe Him on Sunday morning, perhaps. And then after Sunday morning, you exclude Him from your life. And you neither think of Him or speak of Him until next Sunday morning. He has a place in your life. He has a place in your life when crisis arises. He has a place in your life when critical times present themselves. He has a place in your life when, because of necessity, you feel that you need to cry out to God. He has a place in your life. There are others of you where Christ, amen, has a more part of your life. He fills a larger part of your life. Amen. You're more observing. You're more careful. You're more attentive. You're more faithful. But I submit to you, Christ does not want just a place in your life. Christ does not want just part of your life. Christ must be paramount in your life. He must be Lord. And that's what I'm looking for today, is a young man or a young woman, a mom or a dad. I don't know who you are, but you're here. And God is speaking to your heart. You've got to make Him Lord. You've got to make Him Lord of all. You've got to crown Him Lord of all. Sad to say, there will be people walk out of our holiness churches today. They will leave the house of God in a sad, lost, pitiful condition because they're not willing to make Him Lord. Why will you not make Him Lord? Oh, come on, help me while I preach now. I want to talk to you. We need to look at this together. We need to think this thing through. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Are you reasonable? Can I reason with you? Will you listen to rational thought? Will you reason with me? Amen. If I make the argument plain, can you not but agree that the only way you're going to get out of this thing is if you make Him Lord? Amen. Will you not admit what you're doing is not working? The things you're not trying, is you're trying are not good enough. You've got to have Him as Lord. So what is it? What cheap thrill? What pleasure? What popularity? What prominence? What is it that hell has offered you that you won't make Him Lord? What person? What place? What promise? What is it that the devil has offered to you that you won't make Him Lord? What is it that hell has said you'll have to give this up? You'll no longer be able to indulge in this. You'll no longer be able to have that. What is it that the devil has offered to you that you'll not make Him Lord? And again, I'm the conductor at the station stop, and I'm saying, anyone for Calvary? Is there anyone that needs Calvary today? Last call for Calvary. Will you come to Calvary? Is there someone under the sound of my voice today? You need to come to Calvary. His prayer reverenced the Lordship of Christ. His petition rested upon the love of Christ. This man, though he were a thief, this man, though he were a sinner, he made a wonderful prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, now that's all you've got to do today, is to come and make Him Lord. And then now watch his petition. Remember me. Wonder what it was that he had heard. Think with me perhaps of what it may have been that he had witnessed. What things had he been told of? What things, perchance, had he himself witnessed that caused him to rest upon the love of Christ? Had he perhaps heard of how that Jesus had sat at a well at Samaria and talked with a woman? Had he perhaps heard of how that Jesus had healed a man sick of a palsy and told him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee"? Had he heard that perhaps this was the man that eateth with sinners? This was the man that receiveth sinners? Was that it? Something that he had heard. Something that he had been told. That if he could only get this man's ear. Hallelujah. If he could only cry into this man's ear, there would be hope for him. He knows he can go free from his sin. Hallelujah. There's an expression, you've heard it, scot-free. That come from Scotland back many, many years ago. If a criminal was pardoned, if he had been pardoned from his sins, for his crimes rather, the way that he could always show that he had been pardoned, if he were ever again questioned about those past crimes, he had been given a minted coin by the Scottish government. Amen. And that judge had given him that coin that said scot-free. And may I say to you and I, we were bound by our sins. We were bound in our iniquities. But Christ Jesus shed his blood and we're scot-free. Amen. You could never earn it. You could never merit it. You could never buy it. You could never deserve it. You couldn't work hard enough. You couldn't live good enough. There's not anything you could do to merit your forgiveness. But Christ, the Son of God, on that day at Calvary, shed his blood and washed us in his blood and made us clean. And we're scot-free. And we've been set free. And we have been delivered. Maybe, perhaps he had heard of how that they had brought that woman to Jesus, taken in adultery, found in the very act. And he had heard of what Jesus had done, of how they brought this woman to Jesus, found in adultery, the very act. And they say, Moses' law says, stone her. What do you say? And the Bible said that he stooped upon the ground. Oh my. There's volumes in those words. He had come so far already. He had come from the palatial palaces of heaven and laid aside his regal robes of righteousness, divested himself of eternal glory, and took upon him the form of a servant. He had come so far already, but he stooped. Hallelujah. Amen. And in that stoop, he reached a hand of humanity to lost souls. Hallelujah. For you see, man himself could never attain to God. Man by his righteousness and man by his good deeds could never touch God. And so there had to be an intercessor. There had to be a mediator. There had to be a daysman. And so with the holy hand of divinity, he reaches up and touches very God. Amen. And with the hand of humanity, he stoops and touches lowly mankind. I'm so glad Jesus is the middleman. I'm so glad Jesus is the daysman. I'm so glad Jesus, the Christ of God, is the middleman. Oh, hallelujah. He stooped and he began to write upon the ground. And the Bible said, one by one, her accusers, convicted of their own conscience, went away. Some suppose that perhaps he wrote their sins. We do not know what he wrote. But nevertheless, all of her accusers go away. And Jesus looked up and said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, Lord, I have none. Amen. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Perhaps the thief had heard of that. I do not know. No wonder the poet, in writing of this woman that was taken in adultery that Jesus forgave, he said of her, once I was pure as the snow, but I fell like a snowflake from heaven to hell, fell to be trampled like filth in the street, fell to be spit on, mocked and beat, dealing in shame for a morsel of bread, hating the living and fearing the dead. But then I met Jesus, who threw not one stone, for he come my sins to atone. Peace, joy, happiness now live inside my door, since I heard him say, woman, you go sin no more. And I come to preach today that the Christ of God, the Savior of the world, has come to forgive. He won't leave you hanging. I said, Jesus won't leave you hanging. He come to deliver. He come to save. He come to pardon. He come to forgive. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The despair from which his faith was born, the desire for which his faith believed, the declaration that his faith brought. Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. How sure was the promise he accepted, and how sweet was the presence that awaited. Jesus didn't leave him hanging. Do you today feel like that you've been left hanging? Your friends have let you down? Oh, hallelujah. The devil didn't keep his promises. All those things that you anticipated, all those things that you were so sure of, your dreams have come to disappointment. Your promises have all been broken, and all your desires have not been satisfied. Sin has left you hanging. You're in a lurch. You're in a bad spot. Amen. Seem like the way things are now, there's no way out. There's no escape. There's no exit. There's no way you're going to get out of this. But then Jesus Christ comes and he says, I am the way. Wait a minute. You're lost. You need a way. Wait a minute. You're in the dark. You need a light. Wait a minute. You're dying. You need life. I know exactly what you need. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. The story is told of a missionary that went into the African bush and he hired a guide to take him to a village of natives that had never heard the gospel. They went down a path that became more narrow and more narrow and more narrow until it all but disappeared. And finally the native guide took out his large knife and began to hack his way through the bush. Until finally this missionary in exasperation says, we're lost. We've lost our way. Whereupon the guide smiled and said, I am your way. And may I say to you today, sir, Christ and Christ alone is the way. He will not leave you hanging. Let's look to the Gospels, the good news, and let's see if Jesus left mankind in a lurch. Let's see if Jesus left mankind in a desperate situation. I contend he won't leave you hanging. He did not leave blind Bartimaeus in his blindness. He did not leave the leper in his uncleanness. He did not leave the demonic bound. He did not leave the bereaved in sorrow. He did not leave that sinful woman in shame. He did not leave Zacchaeus up a tree. He did not leave Peter sinking in the sea. And Jesus is not going to leave you today. All you've got to do is cry out. All you've got to do is cry out to him. Jesus won't leave you hanging. I understand that according to Oxford's Dictionary of Phrases and Thoughts, this expression left hanging also means for you to ignore an outstretched hand, for you to turn away from someone that extends their hand, for you to ignore their outstretched hand. You have left them hanging. I read that Peter was out on the ship with the disciples, and he saw Jesus walking on the water. There they were in that storm. It seemed as if their ship were a bowl in the hand of a dancing giant. The sky is angry. The sea is raging. The lightning flashes. Amen. The sea is rolling back and forth and to and fro. And they're tossed in the waves. And Peter sees the Lord. And he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter began to walk on the water to go to Jesus. But the Bible said, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now watch this. Here's a lesson in life for us to learn. The storm is merely secondary. Christ must always remain primary. As long as he held the focal of life, he was able to tread underfoot the storms of life. And may I say to us, it matters not the raging waves. It matters not the howling winds.
As long as Christ is focal, we can tread underfoot the storms of life. But he got his eyes off the primary and began to look at the secondary. And beginning to sink, he cried and he stretched forth his hand, and Jesus caught him. Oh, for the stretch of grace and the catch of salvation. And may I say to you today, if you'll cry out to him, he won't leave you hanging. If you'll cry out to him today, he won't leave you hanging, but he'll hear your plea and answer your cry.
You may say, preacher, I hear what you're saying. I hear everything you're talking about. But you don't know how wicked I've been. You don't know my sins. You don't know my life. I can only say you don't know what a wonderful Savior Jesus is. Amen. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where the rest of us has been. But every one of us here today that are saved are a trophy of grace that cried out to God in a moment of desperation. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus didn't leave us hanging. Years ago, I pastored in Leeds, Alabama, just outside of Birmingham. A lady visited our church occasionally. And she one time called me and said, my dad is dying and he lives up over the mountain. And I'd be grateful if you'd go see my dad. He lived up the other side of Oneonta, way up over the mountain. Probably a good hour and a half from where I pastored. When I got there, I saw the frayed remnant of what had once been a great man, a hard-working man, coal miner, once strong, once proud, but now, because of sin, he lays in an emaciated, pitiful state. He had suffered a number of strokes, and I knelt down beside him, and if I live to be 100, I'll never forget kneeling down beside Manly. That was his given first name, Manly. I knelt down beside Manly and I said, Manly, the Lord loves you, and if you'll cry out to him, he'll save you. He didn't have anything to offer God. He didn't have a bank account. He didn't have a strong body. He had nothing to offer. My first visit, I feel like I made little or no headway. But I was persistent. And I do not know how many times I went to visit Manly. And again I would tell him that if he would cry out to God, God would save him. Finally, the Spirit of the Lord broke that hard shell. And I seen a tear come out of the corner of his eye. And with that one good hand, he embraced my hand. And a sinner wept his way through to salvation. The Lord didn't leave him hanging. I was troubled about Manly because I noticed there on the nightstand beside his bed there was a snuff can. And that bothered me. And a number of times as I would pray with him, I would almost mention to him about that. But every time I would feel hesitant, and I said nothing about it. I only prayed that God would deal with his heart. The phone call came. Manly had died, and the family asked me to officiate the service. When I went up to the funeral home to make preparations, one of the daughters pulled me aside and said, Preacher, there's been something I wanted to tell you. Said, about that snuff can that was there on the nightstand. Said, from the last time you visited and prayed with Dad and the Lord moved in a special way, Dad never touched that can again. Hallelujah. God took a man that was old and feeble
and wicked and saved him and turned his life around. He didn't leave him hanging. And I just feel like here today that the Lord wants to reach out to somebody that's lost. And you may say, oh, I don't have talent. I don't have money. I don't have ability. I don't have means. I don't have merit. He's not interested in that. He wants you today, beloved. He come to save you just as you are. He come to save you today. You're standing all over the house. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. While someone gets me a song, Father, thank you for the preciousness of the Holy Ghost I feel right now. Thank you for the preciousness of your Spirit that's in this service. For that man, that woman, that boy or girl. For that one here today, Lord, that needs you as Savior. Be that Savior to them this morning. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Anyone for Calvary? I'm making a plea this morning. I'm making a desperate call. Anyone for Calvary? Oh, I appreciate the tenderness of the Lord I feel right now. I feel like we're doing business in great waters. I sure would like to put the net out today. Now we've come to the most important part of the service. Thank the Lord for the wonderful singing. I'm appreciative of your kindness as I've attempted to preach to you today. But the fact of the matter is, your sins have left you hanging. Your sins have left you hanging over hell. And you're going to go to hell and be lost for all eternity unless you make Jesus Lord. So it's decision time here today. It's time we talk business. Me and you, it's time we get down to brass tacks. Listen to Brother MacDonald today. You know you're going to have to make a decision whether you want to or not. This service here today will cause you to make a decision. Everyone in this service will make a decision. Those that attend the nominal churches will sometimes count what they call decisions. Friend, I pray that you will come to this altar and make a decision to follow Christ. But if you choose to turn your back and go through that door unsaved, you've also made a decision. It's decision time today. No one in their right mind, no one sane, no one rational would lift their hand right now and say, I want to go to hell. You don't intend on dying lost. You don't intend on being eternally damned. But yet, you're going to be unless you make him Lord. I need to pray in church right now. I could have preached a whole lot longer, but the Spirit bid me open this altar. So here we are. It's your call. It's your decision. Have I got to pray in church right now? This altar's open. Ma'am, sir, how is it with you and God? You're here today and you say, preacher, I've been needing to make that decision. Brother MacDonald, I've been needing to make that choice. There's a middleman that died for you. There's a middleman that died for you. It's your call this morning. Pray right on with me, church. Let's linger. Let's entertain the Spirit.
It's early yet. We got plenty of time for dinner. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Worship the Lord with me. Let's make Him Lord. Let's make Him Lord. Let's make Him Lord. Let's pray God will give us souls this morning. We don't want to rush through this altar. You're here today and you've not made that choice. You've not made Him Lord. You need to do that today. I invite you to come right now. Just as simple as you leaving that seat, coming down to this altar, humbling your heart, and opening your life up to the very Son of God. You need to do that. I want you to come on right now. The pastor will meet you. The saints will gather around. But it's your call. He won't leave you hanging. He won't leave you in a lurch. When you make that desperate plea, He'll be there to answer your cry. Come on this morning. How about it? Oh, I feel the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Let's linger. Let's wait on the Lord. Pray for that one that's nearby. Pray for that one that's close to you. Lord, save that one here today that needs salvation so desperately. Hallelujah. I somehow believe God wants to do it this morning. I'd like to turn you loose. I'd like to let you go, but the Spirit bids me plead on. So I'm just going to hold out for you. Hallelujah. Why don't you take that one by the hand and say, we're going to do it together. We're going to come. And together, we're going to make Him Lord. He's not going to have just a place in our life or part of our life, but He's going to have all of our lives. Somebody in the house needs to do it this morning. You need to come and make Him Lord. Give Him everything. Oh, hallelujah. I appreciate the Holy Ghost I feel right now. Oh, would you pray right on, church? I need your support. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need your prayer right now. Grant unto thy servant wisdom, Lord. You need to come today to make Him Savior and Lord. I want to invite you to come right now. You'd like to come and open your heart to God. Why don't you just step out right now? Answer that call. There'll never be a better opportunity than right now. It'll never be easier. Hard though it seems, it'll never be easier than it is right now. Do it now. Right now while you feel the tug. Right now while you feel God dealing with your heart. You've got a golden opportunity. Your sins that you can never, never remit. Your sins that you could never, never pardon. You can come and confess them to Christ. Make Him Lord. And you can leave here scot-free. Hallelujah. Oh, I appreciate the goodness of the Lord that I feel right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Honor the Holy Ghost in this service. Let's let the Spirit of God have His way. I know what you're saying. I hear you. You're saying sometime, not today. You're saying another time, not right now. But the Spirit says today. The Spirit says now. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Help that soul this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, deal with that heart here today. Let's pray again, church. Lift your right hand toward heaven, all you that are saved, Father. When I cried out to you in desperation, you heard me. You didn't leave me hanging. When I cried out to you, Lord, you heard me. Pray on, church. Pray on, church. Pray on, church. Let's believe God to do a work of salvation in this service today. Someone needs to come and give God everything. Someone needs to come today and make Him Lord. I believe God wants to give us souls in this altar today. Christ won't leave you hanging. You'll come and submit all to Him. Come and give Him everything. He's here to pardon. He's here to forgive. If you'll just come. If you'll just make that step. Come and give God everything. Oh, it's more important than you can imagine. It's more important than you'll ever know. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I appreciate the Lord this morning, don't you? So thankful for His saving grace. I want to ask you, please, let's fill these altars this morning all over the house. And as others come, I want to invite you to come. Come in all around the building, please. Let's seek the Lord.